Hoy, con Marta de Baile, Garrett Wing, entrenador de perros. Las razas que te conviene tener y las que de plano no, según su tamaño. Solo por W Radio.
Bueno, cuentavientes, ya saben que mi chamba es encontrar a los mejores de todo el mundo. Entonces, encontré a Garrett Wing. Y Garrett es entrenador de perros, fundador de The American Standard Dog Training, que es una academia de entrenamiento de perros basada en Miami, en Florida. Lo encuentran en Instagram como American Standard K9. Y cuando yo lo oí explicando con una precisión, con una claridad y con una exactitud, qué perros hay que comprar, qué perros no hay que comprar, qué se requiere como persona para tener una raza o para tener otra, dije, es que este hombre tiene que venir aquí a radio, porque la cantidad de veces que nos enamoramos de un perro porque lo vemos precioso, porque nos parece increíble, porque creemos que nos vamos a ver súper cool, sin dimensionar las necesidades, los requerimientos que va a tener un perro de su naturaleza. Yo les contaba que cuando yo tenía a Gastón, mi Terranova, que pesaba casi 100 kilos, todo el mundo me decía, es que yo me muero por un perro como ese, ¿dónde lo consigo? Yo les decía, no tienes una idea de lo que estás hablando, porque es un perro que cuesta por lo menos 3,000-4,000 pesos al mes de mantenimiento, porque tuvimos que comprar una secadora eléctrica profesional para poderle secar el pelo y forramos el garage con el plástico para que no se resbalara por el peso que tiene y comía 1 kilo de croquetas al día. Luego le dio epilepsia, entonces tomaba medicamentos, pero glucosamina, pero vitamina E. Entonces, uno tiene que saber qué raza de perro es la que puedes y la que debes. So, Garrett, thank you so much for being on the show. Let me tell you something. I know you got a lot of fans on Instagram. There is nobody who is a bigger fan than me. Because you know what you're talking about, because you're very efficient. And I was telling the audience in Spanish that before deciding on buying a dog, just because you think he's gorgeous, he's cute, and you look super cool, you have to understand the nature of the dog and the requirements. So let's talk about the most difficult breeds to train, the easiest breeds to train, who should buy a certain type of dog and who should never buy a certain type of dog. So you do your thing. And, you know, after a couple of minutes, give me time just to say what you said in Spanish.
Sure, so, no problem. So you may start by introducing myself.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So my name is Garrett Wing. I'm the owner and founder of American Standard Dog Training. We also have online dog training at DIYK9.com. And I've been training and working with police dogs for well over 20 years. And in the last handful of years, we transitioned from police training to civilian dog training, because we like to say for every police dog that's out there that needs training, there's probably 10,000 or more civilian dogs that need training, those pet dogs. So, and they're much more difficult, and we like to take on the challenge.
Absolutely. Y tiene 20 años dedicado al entrenamiento de perros policías y después se dio cuenta que por cada perro policía que necesitaba entrenamiento había 10,000 perros en casas que necesitaban entrenarse y que son pues el reto más grande, ¿no? Okay. So every breed is different. Every breed has a different nature and a different set of requirements.
Correct. And even individual dogs have obviously their own personalities. So we speak in generalities when we talk about certain breeds, like a big well-known breed that everyone's seen in the movies and has made, you know, international fame would be the Belgian Malinois, because of the type of work they're doing in police and military. And people see how well trained those dogs are. And they think, and this is just one example, they go, I'm going to buy the Belgian Malinois because if it works for the police and they're so high trained, I can get one for myself and it'll be just as highly trained. They don't realize the not hundreds of hours, thousands upon thousands of hours that are put into work to make those dogs perform the way they do. And when they get them without the training, it becomes a catastrophe. And that's where we come in and help owners train their dogs. But also it's just sad too, because people end up getting these types of dogs, realize it's too much, and then put them up for adoption or put them in shelters, and it's very sad. So we try to avoid that as well by providing guidance and helping people train their dogs, and in this case as well, helping them choose the right dog to begin with so they don't fall down that trap.
Of course. Dice, mira, te voy a decir qué pasa. La gente ve perros en la televisión o en las películas. Por ejemplo, el Malinois belga, que es probablemente, pues no sé si es el primero o segundo perro más inteligente del mundo. Entonces, los estamos viendo ahorita en el terremoto de Turquía. Gran parte de los perros rescatistas son malinois belgas. Entonces, la gente ve, se enamora y dice, no, no puede ser. Están súper bien entrenados. Yo voy a conseguirme uno. Corte A, te das cuenta que el perro necesita muchísima de tu atención, muchísimo de tu tiempo, muchísima de tu conocimiento, de entrenamiento, que la verdad es que los de a pie no tenemos. Corte A, el perro se te vuelve un problema y lo más triste de todo es que lo acabas dando en adopción o lo acabas abandonando. Y antes de que eso pase, a lo que se dedica también Garrett es ayudarles a todos ustedes a escoger el mejor perro para el tipo de persona que ustedes son y el tipo de familia. I love that video you did on the Belgian Malinois. So let's go a little bit off script and just tell everybody who should not have a Belgian Malinois and what should you be willing to give up if you want a Belgian Malinois?
So, I mean, that is one of the top breeds that we don't recommend. They have become super popular in the last decade or so. And we are getting phone calls all the time. And it's really sad to hear. They're like, I have a Belgian Malinois. And that's how they're pronouncing it. And it's kind of sad. They don't even know how to pronounce the dog that they have. It's a Belgian Malinois. We use them exclusively for police and military work. And let me just describe their personality, often described as a German Shepherd on crack cocaine or Cuban coffee, many shots, an entire colada. And they just don't stop. They do not have an off switch. And that's why we use them for police and military work, so that we can work them for hours upon hours. The problem is when you bring a dog like that to your home, and you don't provide them with a 24-hour a job day, or a minimum 8 to 10 hours per day, giving them a job to do, like hunting down terrorists or finding bad guys or searching for drugs, they are going to find a job. And that job is going to be tearing up your house, tearing up your backyard, running around like a wild animal in your own home. And so that dog is not meant for about 99% of the population, because we all have lives, we have jobs, we have children. We can't be home 24 hours a day to supervise this dog. And most people are not taking their dogs everywhere. When we're police officers and we have our police dogs, they go with us to work every day. They're getting a minimum of 40 hours a week away from the home, out and about training and traveling with us and putting in the work. And again, I can't stress it enough, the number one reason that people tend to fall into these pits of despair with their dogs is because they don't realize these dogs were originally bred for work, and we don't provide these dogs with a fulfilling job to do. And so they make their own job up, which is making your life miserable, so it seems.
Okay. Le digo, de una vez aprovechemos. Háblame por qué muy poca gente debería de tener un Malinois belga. Y dice, a ver, el Malinois belga no es para el 99% de la gente. Es un perro con muchísima energía, es un perro que no tiene un switch que se apaga nunca. Por eso son perfectos perros para trabajar en las fuerzas policíacas, como perros rescatistas, para buscar terroristas, para estar oliendo y encontrando cocaína y tráfico de drogas, porque son perros que nacieron para trabajar y necesitan estar trabajando por lo menos de 8 a 10 horas al día, 40 horas a la semana. ¿Y qué es lo que pasa? Que tienes un Malinois belga y obviamente la gente normal tiene trabajos, tiene familia, tiene hijos, tiene amigos, sale. No andas con tu perro todo el día, como los policías andan con un Malinois belga todo el día y ese perro está trabajando todo el día. Entonces, un Malinois belga en una familia que no va a estar dedicándole por lo menos 3, 4, 5 horas al día a ese perro, el perro, si no tiene chamba, la va a encontrar. ¿Y saben qué va a hacer? Les va a destruir el sofá, el coche, la casa, el jardín y todo lo que encuentre. Y entonces, un perro de esa naturaleza está, digamos que su objetivo principal y su naturaleza es trabajar. Entonces, you said something on that video that I couldn't stop laughing about. So when my husband said, oh, you know what? It would be really cool to have a Belgian Malinois. I put Garrett Wing's video and he said, okay, maybe not. You said, if you're willing to never see Netflix again, if you're willing not to see a movie again, if you're willing to invest 3, 4, 5 hours a day training your dog, you can get a Belgian Malinois. If you're not willing to do that, do not buy it.
That's right. And there are some owners that do and that's why I say 99% of the folks shouldn't get one, but there is that 1% that do wonderful with the breed. They work from home. They hike 5 miles a day. They like to go run. They like to take their dog with them everywhere. That it can be an amazing dog. Don't get me wrong. I love Belgian Malinois. It's just usually too much dog for most folks. And so there is a small percentage of the population that can't handle that type of dog. And I encourage you to get one. I mean, there's plenty of them out there up for adoption too, because of how much energy that they have.
Of course.
And we also find too, the more you tell someone about that dog that they shouldn't get, it becomes the forbidden fruit. And then now they really want it.
Of course. So, no, dice, a ver, el Malinois belga es un perro espectacular. Hay un 1% de la población que puede manejar ese perro. Cuando a mí me dijo mi marido, oye, ¿y si conseguimos un Belgian Malinois? Le dije, de ninguna manera, bajo ninguna circunstancia. Y le puse el video de Garrett donde dice, si ustedes no quieren volver a ver una película, si ustedes quieren dejar su suscripción de Netflix, no tengan un Belgian Malinois, pueden tener un Belgian Malinois. Y este perro es para gente que hace mucho ejercicio, que le encanta el hiking, que corre 5 millas al día, que son muy activos y que tienen el tiempo, que trabajan desde casa para estar entrenando al perro porque necesitan mucho entrenamiento. Eso no significa que no es un perro espectacular, pero no es. Es mucho perro para la mayoría de la gente. Okay. So, the least recommended breeds, Garrett, and why?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Well, we already mentioned the Belgian Malinois. That would make definitely towards the top of the list. We have plenty of other dogs that hit the top of the list. I mean, my own dog, the Cane Corso, that's my dog of choice.
Divine.
We do not recommend that for, Divine. Once again, 99% of folks. And that's also one of the most popular breeds right now that we're finding people are choosing.
Why? Why the Cane Corso is not an ideal dog for the majority of the population?
Well, not unlike the Malinois, which is bred for police and military work, the Cane Corso actually stems from an ancient Roman war dog. These are battle dogs. These were dogs meant to battle in the arena with lions and bears, to go on campaigns of war, and were released in the middle of a war or in the middle of a battle to kill people, simply put. And now this, we're kind of getting a watered down version of what that dog was originally intended for, but the genes are still there. They're absolute battle tanks. That's how I describe them. They're easily 120, and now I would say 120 pounds, but in United States, we're seeing most of them around 140 to 160 pounds or more. Unbelievably strong dogs. And once again, if they put their mind to something, they are very hard to stop. They have a very high threshold for pain. Meaning if they do get into a fight with another dog or even a human, it's very hard to stop them. Again, absolute battle tanks. And I often pose the question, do you need a battle tank roaming around your suburban neighborhood? They were bred, again, for war and also to guard a homestead. Wonderful at that job. But most folks can barely maintain or train their Chihuahua or their Labrador Retriever. What are you going to do with a 120, 140-pound battle tank? So we really don't recommend them. And we are seeing horror stories of people getting absolutely mauled by their dog or worse. Those dogs are 100% capable of killing humans, and they have in the recent past. We've had them in just the last few years, incidents of these dogs, as sad as it is, going after humans. And they're not innately just mean dogs. They're just guardians to the 10th power. And so we often say this because everyone says, I want a guardian dog. We get that request all the time. I want a guardian breed. Is the Cane Corso right for me? And we say no, because they're so territorial. We use the example of if your drunk Uncle Jeff comes through the front door or your neighbor comes over unannounced or you get a brand new mailman, the dog doesn't know the difference between the new mailman or an intruder trying to do you harm. And so we like to say sometimes they bite first and ask questions later. So, of course. It's just a lot of dog.
Of course. A ver, dice, un perro que muy poca gente podría tener, es un perro que está muy de moda, que es un perro italiano que se llama el Cane Corso, que seguramente lo han visto. Pero la naturaleza de este perro, que en realidad viene desde la época de los romanos, y era el perro el que usaban en los coliseos para pelearse con los leones, eran los perros que usaban en guerra. Dice Garrett que básicamente son tanques de guerra. Y entonces, aunque no es un perro malo, porque no hay ningún perro malo, su naturaleza es la protección de sus amos. Entonces pone un muy buen ejemplo que dice, pues el perro no sabe la diferencia entre el cartero o tu tío Jorge que llegó borracho a las 12 de la noche a tu casa. El perro está diseñado para protegerte. Y entonces él muerde y luego pregunta, ¿no? Y es un perro que pesa entre 120 libras. En Estados Unidos están criándolos y pueden haber perros cane corso que lleguen a pesar entre 140 y 150 libras. O sea, son masivos. Y entonces, otra vez, ¿quieres un tanque de guerra en el jardín de tu casa? ¿Quieres un tanque de guerra caminando en tu colonia? Y son perros que aparte tienen mucha tolerancia al dolor. Entonces, un perro como el cane corso se mete en una pelea con otro perro, las probabilidades de que tú lo puedas separar van a ser muy, muy pequeñas porque no sienten el dolor como lo siente cualquier otro perro. Tienen muchísimo aguante. Y dice, ahora todo el mundo está de moda de que quieren un perro guardián. Y entonces es algo que no le recomendamos a la gente porque, oye, si no puedes manejar a tu chihuahua o a tu golden retriever, a tu labrador peludo, pues ¿qué vas a poder controlar a un perro de esta naturaleza? Entonces, love it. Okay, got it all down. Another breed you do not recommend.
Well, there's such a long list, and this gets a lot of people that get upset because they may have one and it's the perfect dog. But it's interesting, too, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a Frenchie. You're thinking about getting a Great Dane, but we say Great Danes and Frenchies don't make the best dogs out of the long list of dogs that are available. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with a Great Dane. People don't realize how big they get, how strong and powerful they are, and you have to completely rearrange your life to accommodate a dog of that size. It is like a horse in your house. So it's like how quickly are you want to run out there and buy a horse and invite it into your home? That's how, you know, big those Great Danes can be. Now, they are gentle giants, but we actually had a woman over to our home about a year ago who traveled over 6 hours drive to get with us, and she had broke her hands. That's right. She broke her hand in three different places. Wonderful lady. Got the breed for all the right reasons, and simply put, the dog was just too much power for her. One of the strongest dogs I've ever felt on the end of a leash. Felt like a tractor when it went to pull you, and that's exactly what happened. Is she took the dog? She took the dog everywhere. She was bringing him out of the car and into the home, and while she was unlocking her front door, the dog saw something like a cat. She's not really sure because it was late at night. But the dog took off running without her noticing. She literally went airborne like a cartoon and landed on her arm and broke her hand in three different places. And she came to us and we taught her how to get the dog to walk normal on a leash because prior to that, like yeah. I said, just would pull you yeah. down the road. So yeah. you have to have the physical strength to handle a dog like a Great Dane too, because if they do see that cat and they want to pull, once again, what were those dogs bred for? Hunting boar and hunting deer. Well, unless you have boar or deer in your backyard and you live on 100 plus acres, I don't know if the Great Dane is the right choice for you.
Of course. Le digo, a ver, ¿qué otro perro no lo recomiendas para la mayoría de las personas? Y me dice, a ver, yo me muero por un gran danés. Y me dice, pues, por ejemplo, tú tienes un Frenchie y el gran danés y el Frenchie cero se van a llevar bien. Eso también uno tiene que pensar. ¿Qué perro nuevo traes a la familia cuando ya tienes otros perros, no? Podemos hacer otro programa sobre buenas combinaciones con Garrett más adelante. Pero dice, a ver, el gran danés es como meter un caballo a tu casa. ¿Qué tan entusiasmados se sienten ustedes de que ande un caballo adentro de tu casa? Tenemos la historia de una señora que tenía un gran danés y un día iba paseando con el gran danés vio algo, no sabía si era un gato, una rata o qué vio. El gran danés salió corriendo, la señora literal salió volando en el aire, se cayó encima de la mano y se rompió la mano y la muñeca. Entonces, tienes que reacomodar toda tu casa si quieres tener un perro que es del tamaño de un caballo y tienes que tener la fuerza física para poder tener perros de ese tamaño. And it's very interesting what you just said about the fact that you need the physical force to be able to have a big dog. When I had my Newfoundland that was like 200 pounds, he was huge. And he got into a fight with one of my other dogs, which was a terrier. Literally, I had to hug Gaston and literally with all my body weight and all my force, pull myself backwards so I could pull the dog off of the terrier. And I'm 5 feet tall. O sea, that was a very risky thing. If that happens with a person, would I have the size and the force to take my dog off of somebody?
Yep. And even with a Newfoundland, who they're very gentle natured, and Great Danes are too, but they have hundreds and thousands of years of prey drive, specifically Great Danes. I mean, they could chase a cat across the street, and it's not even about the dog hurting someone. It's about you being drugged across the street, or what we call the asphalt skiing adventure of a lifetime. We've seen people just with horrible injuries just getting drugged down the road. And that's not a dog that your kid can just easily walk.
Of course, dice, y muchas veces no solamente el hecho de no tener la fuerza física para separar a un perro, porque normalmente los perros como los terranovas y los grandaneses son muy tranquilos. Pero el problema es que si el perro se distrae y sale corriendo porque vio un gato o quiere perseguir una pelota, híjole, va a ser la esquiada en asfalto de tu vida. Hemos visto muchísima gente lastimada por eso. Ahora imagínense a su hijo de 10 años tratando de pasear un grandanés. O sea, simplemente por el peso y por su naturaleza de querer buscar a su presa, son perros muy pesados y difíciles físicamente de controlar. Y ahora vamos a hablar de un perro que está muy de moda, que es el Frenchie, el bulldog francés. So, he's on the list of basically untrainable dogs.
Pretty much. Yeah, the French bulldog is super popular breed, especially in the last decade or so. Yeah. I mean, things are getting out of control with the different colors that they're breeding into them. And now you can expect to pay $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for a Frenchie. And I'm not saying they're not worth it, but they are definitely not the easiest trainable dog. You know, of the bulldog background, you ever heard the term bullheaded? You know, I think that's where that comes from. Not easy to train, a lot of personality in such a small package, stubborn, and, you know, definitely some health issues due to all the breeding that's happening, as well as how they were developed as a breed, having that kind of smushed face. They have a lot of respiratory issues. I'm not saying they can't make great dogs, but you're certainly not going to win any obedience competitions with them.
Yeah.
Or you have to put in a lot of work to let them know, hey, you're a member of the pack.
I feel you.
You're not the leader of the pack.
I feel you, brother. Like, I look at my daughter's Frenchie and I'm like, Lapo, come. And he just sits and stares at me like saying, lady, that ain't going to happen. He doesn't move a finger. Dice, a ver, el punto francés, el problema es que, bueno, sí, se puso muy de moda desde los últimos 10 años. Ya es una locura las variantes que hay, porque han hecho un chorro de modificaciones genéticas y desafortunadamente por eso son perros que tienen muchísimos problemas de salud y problemas respiratorios por tener la nariz tan chata. De hecho, les quiero comentar que el nuestro lo castramos porque no queremos reproducirlo y seguir perpetuando los problemas de su raza. Pero dice que el problema es que son perros con una super personalidad, divertidísimos, son perrazos, muy divertidos, pero son difíciles de entrenar porque de ahí viene la palabra bulldog francés. O sea, ahora sí que más terco que un toro. O sea, necios, 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 y son muy difíciles de entrenar. I was just telling the audience that when we got our dog, which has blue eyes, which is very weird, and so we think he was genetically modified, we decided to neuter him and not continue reproducing, you know, the health problems that that this breed has. Okay,
sure.
So we said all the negatives. Now let's go to the most recommended breeds according to Garrett.
Sure. So that puts a lot of pressure on me because, you know, we get a lot of hate that we don't mention everybody's breed. But I mean, what comes to mind right off rip is the Labrador Retriever. Pretty much can't go wrong with one of them. If you do go wrong getting a Labrador Retriever, that's because you're getting one from a breeder who breeds for hunting dogs, and not too dissimilar than the Belgian Malinois. There are some Labrador Retrievers out there that possess crazy, crazy prey drive or bull drive or hunt drive, and you're going to have to satisfy their need to get out there and hunt. So what we're recommending is a Labrador Retriever that's more of a pet grade. In fact, all the dogs we recommend try to find the pet grade version. What's the pet grade version? The ones that are bred more for looks or for their very calm temperament. But Labrador Retrievers, it's like America's golden child, right there next to the Golden Retriever. Very similar. The reason we kind of recommend the Labrador Retriever over the Golden Retriever is the Golden Retrievers, they're like little Energizer bunnies with they're almost too social. Golden Retrievers are known for when you come in through the front door, they're just going to whip you with their tail and take 20 minutes to calm down. They have to meet and greet, not just one time, but like every minute for the first 30 minutes. They're just going to run around and want more affection than you could ever possibly give it. Labrador Retrievers tend to be a little more calm compared to the Golden Retrievers. And, you know, you really can't go wrong with one. Now, that being said, if I may say, just to show the dichotomy here, one of the meanest dogs I've ever met in my life was a Labrador Retriever. So there you go. His name was Bronco. He was an explosive ordnance detection dog that we used to sweep for explosives on cruise ships. Fantastic working dog. He was just a mean son of a gun, very food possessive. But outside of him, Labrador Retrievers are amazing dogs for the most
part. Okay. Dice, a ver, la gente se pone muy mal si no menciono su raza. Voy a tratar de hacer una lista pequeña, aunque hay muchísimos perros que son maravillosos para el gran grueso de la gente. Pero el primero en mi lista, dice Garrett, es el labrador, no el dorado, el labrador de pelo corto, el que es o chocolate, o negro, o beige. Dice, es importante que cuando adquieran ustedes un labrador de un criador, que sea un labrador que no fue criado ni para cazar, ni para buscar presas, porque a veces no te das cuenta que no estás comprando un perro grado mascota, que son perros que fueron criados para ser sociables, amigables y para ser parte de una familia. Entonces, son perros increíblemente fáciles de entrenar, son muy amistosos, son muy poco agresivos, son increíbles con las familias y dice que a veces él prefiere el labrador, el cobrador por encima de el labrador dorado, porque el labrador dorado tiene una necesidad de atención que es como un conejito energizer, no para, que cuando entra alguien por la puerta de esa casa, o sea, el nivel de excitación es tal que puede estar 20 minutos saludando cada minuto a la misma persona y enredando esa cola alrededor de ti, buscando atención. Y para mucha gente, un perro que demanda tanta atención es un perro difícil. Y por eso, por encima del labrador dorado, el labrador normal. Okay, so Labrador is your number one most recommended breed. I know it's a very long list. You don't want to piss anybody off, but this is a small version of your very long list. So who would be number two?
Well, I'm actually a really big fan of Labradoodles, and that's a poodle Labrador mix. So it's not maybe that exciting, but it's another very popular dog that we're seeing a lot of. And once again, I like Labradoodles over Golden Doodles for the same reason. So what do you get when you get the Labradoodle? You're getting a really cute dog for sure. And I get a lot of hate for this. A lot of dog trainers don't like me mentioning this because they think Labradoodles and Golden Doodles are being overbred right now. And they're basically not paying attention to breeding standards or making sure that they're breeding the best temperaments. But we've had a great success with all the Labradoodles we've had in our program and the Golden Doodles. Now, again, just to clarify, a Labradoodle is a Labrador Retriever mixed with a poodle. They have different generations of them, meaning like, is it first generation Labrador mixed with a poodle, or is it second or third generation? Regardless of which generation you get, you can basically hope to get the best out of a Labrador Retriever and a poodle. And the other thing that makes them very, very popular is they don't shed, which makes them hypoallergenic. So if you are allergic to dogs, you'll do better with a breed like a Labradoodle. Now, right next to them, kind of the cousin to that, is the Golden Doodle. They look very similar. But we've seen the Golden Doodles, once again, with that extra energy that the Golden Retriever brings, they can be a little too much for most folks to handle, a little too much energy. And they come in different sizes. So if you want a small one, you can get a small one all the way up to a standard if you want a big one. So it's another great breed that I personally recommend. And I haven't really seen any mean ones. You know, they're just great with kids, highly trainable, very smart. And again, the hypoallergenic aspect is just a bonus.
Okay, dice, yo diría que en segundo lugar, este que está de moda también, que es el Labradoodle o el Golden Doodle. Dice, y todavía prefiero el Labradoodle por encima del Golden Doodle. Obviamente, son perros preciosos, son perros súper sociables, súper amigables, buenísimos con los niños, muy inteligentes, fáciles de entrenar. ¿Y por qué digo que me gusta más el Labradoodle sobre el Golden Doodle? Porque lo que tú estás buscando es lo mejor de un labrador y de un French Poodle. Y obviamente los labradores son más tranquilos que los Golden Labradores, los güeros de pelo largo, que son un poquito más entusiasmados, más excitados, y que normalmente no todo el mundo puede manejar un perro así de activo. Y lo más importante de todo es que no tiran pelo, son hipoalergénicos para todos los que tienen alergias. Un Labradoodle sería una super gran opción. I saw a video of you talking about the Rottweiler's ADD, and I couldn't stop laughing because I have ADD, so I could totally relate to that dog. But people are really scared of Rottweilers. Is that an absolute mistake and a myth?
No, I don't think so. It's interesting because in the one hand, I'm going to say I think Rottweilers make amazing family dogs. Amazing. I really do think that they're great. They're kind of a do-it-all type of dog. And at the same time, the Rottweiler is one of the most scary dogs for me as someone who, meaning when I go jogging with my dog or without my dog, there's a particular block I go by where they have two full-grown Rottweilers. And every time I run by, I go, please, I hope they haven't dug a hole under that fence because I don't want to tango with that 130-plus pound male Rottweiler. I just don't want to do it because it's a lot of dog and he means
business. How do you say it's great for families and then you say if I run past them, I'm like terrified?
Because it's not my dog. That dog doesn't know me and he's doing his job, which is to defend his property. So they're very imposing. A full-grown male Rottweiler, 120 or 130 pounds, is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, they are very intimidating looking dogs. And yet at the same time can be absolute sweetheart with small children, other dogs, the whole family. So they're really just, I think they're great dogs, great all-arounders. A little more level-headed than a Conic Corso, not quite as territorial, very fun-loving, playful, but they can turn on that switch and be more protectors. So okay. I just really think
What's the ADD? What's going on with the ADD and the
Rottweiler? Oh, my God. So, you know, we used to use them in police work back in the 80s, the City of Miami Police Department and elsewhere. And my father got to work with them since he was a police canine handler since 1981. And he's told me from such a young age, I think when I asked, probably when I was 8 years old, hey, how come we're not using the Rottweilers anymore? He goes, Garrett, I'm telling you, we'll be on a hunt for a homicide suspect armed with a gun. And it's everyone's got to be focused on their task. And the dog is working, and all of a sudden he'll stop. And there's a butterfly, and he wants to go chase the butterfly and completely lose track of what we're supposed to be doing. So Rottweilers are unbelievably smart, but I do find that they, more than most dogs, have a very short attention span or can be easily distracted by a plane flying overhead, a bird, a butterfly. They'll completely stop what they're doing. They do eventually get back on task, but it's without fail they do that. In fact, we were filming a video talking about it, and right on cue, the Rottweilers just completely forgot what we were doing.
Okay. Dice, a ver, le digo, ¿por qué tiene tan mala fama el Rottweiler? Porque tú lo tienes en tu lista de los perros que más recomiendas. Y dice, mira, son buenísimos perros con los niños chiquitos. Son súper adorables, amorosos, cariñosos, buenísimos con la familia. Pero son perros protectores. Y dice, yo de repente salgo a correr ahí en Miami y hay una cuadra donde hay dos Rottweilers y digo, en el nombre de Cristo, que no hayan hecho un hoyo abajo de la barda y que se salgan estos perros, porque qué horror tener que agarrarme con estos perros, porque pues son perros de 70, 80 kilos, son perros protectores, pero eso no significa que no sean súper buenos perros para niños chiquitos y para la familia. Y le digo, oye, es que dijiste que el Rottweiler te causa mucha gracia porque tiene un serio problema de déficit de atención. Y me dice, es que 100%. De hecho, en los 80s, en la policía de Miami, usábamos Rottweilers para nuestros trabajos, ¿no? Y me cuenta mi papá que de repente podían estar ya sabes, haciendo una redada, todos empistolados, buscando a unos maleantes. Viene el perro junto contigo que está trabajando y que tiene que estar enfocado. Y de repente lo que le pasaba al Rottweiler es que se libre el avión y cuando te das cuenta, el Rottweiler está viendo una mariposa que está pasando, se le fue el foco, se le fue la atención. Y eso es algo que mucho pasa con los Rottweiler, que son fácilmente distraíbles y que aunque regresan a su foco, sí se distraen con mucha facilidad. Y por eso ya es raro que usen los Rottweilers en trabajo policiaco. You know what? I could talk to you for hours. This is not the first time you're going to be on the show. So this is just a little taste for the audience of everything you know about breeds. We could talk about small breeds, medium breeds, big breeds, about the smartest dogs, about the toughest dogs. We'll talk many, many more times on the show. Garrett, it was so wonderful having you. So
thank you very much.
The show can be listened to on digital, on podcast, on Spotify. So there's a lot of people who listen to us from Florida. You know, there's a lot of Mexicans and Latins living in Florida.
Sure.
So I hope we have more clients for you that you can help train their dogs and make everybody more happy. So can they follow you? And you have a lot of content on Instagram, but other platforms.
Yeah, so we're on TikTok, American Standard K9. We're on Instagram as American Standard K9. We're also on YouTube and Facebook as American Standard Dog Training. And for anybody that wants to learn how to train their own dog from the comfort of their own home, we have some amazing courses available at DIYK9.com where you can learn how to train your own dog.
And online?
Oh, yeah. We've had it's new teaching you.
No, explain that. Explain that.
Yeah, so it's DIYK9.com. We started about a year ago with it, and it's been a wildly successful since we dropped it. And we continue to come out with new courses, and even the courses that are out are living, breathing courses, meaning if we get a special request or we get a new breed in, we'll film with it and put it up and basically show owners exactly how to train their dog everything from A to Z.
And what you train them? Sit. That's as far as...
Yeah, all of it. Obedience, everything you need for obedience. We have a course called The Perfect Walk. It's everything you need for literally every dog breed that exists of all ages, all size, all temperament. We teach you how to walk your dog perfect on a leash. That's why it's called The Perfect Walk. And you can do it in as little as 5 to 15 minutes. That's how easy it is when you know what you're doing. And it's a way for people to save a lot of time and money. Instead of hiring a trainer and waiting 6 or 8 weeks to try to see some results, they can see results in as little as 15 minutes. So we're really happy with the success of that that website, and we're continuing to put new courses out. In fact, we just dropped a new course this week. It's called Obedience 101, and it's everything you need to teach any dog how to sit, down, stay, stand, everything you need for your house dog and more.
That is so much fun. A ver... Tiene en su canal, en web, es DIYK9.com. Ahorita se los pongo en Twitter. Cursos para que ustedes solitos, no importando la raza de perro que tengan, aprendan a entrenar a su perro. Dice que empezó hace un año y que es exitosísimo porque a veces es desesperante mandar al perro 6-8 semanas para que alguien lo entrene o que venga el entrenador diario y te tardas años en ver resultados. Tiene cursos de todos los estilos. Cursos de obediencia, este es uno también que acaba de lanzar, que es Obediencia 101, 1.1, que es básicamente cómo enseñar a tu perro a sentarse, a pararse, a quedarse en la esquina, etcétera, etcétera. Y van a ver los resultados súper rápido. Otro curso que tiene que ver con... ya les dije obediencia. You said the other course had to do with...
So we have The Perfect Walk, we have Obedience 101.
¿Cómo caminar a tu perro para que no te jale, para que no se te cruce, para que no se aviente? La perfecta caminada con tu perro. Y todos estos cursos los pueden tomar ustedes desde su casa, online, y practicarlo con sus perros. DIYK9.com es American Standard K9 en Twitter, en Facebook, en YouTube, American Standard Dog Training. Y en Instagram, que es donde lo sigo yo, en American Standard K9. Garrett, we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much for sharing your
knowledge.
Thank
you very, very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Take care. Take care. Yeah, absolutely. Oigan, hay que traerlo de regreso. No saben todo lo que sabe. Véanlo en Instagram o en TikTok o donde quieran, porque no saben qué increíble todo lo que enseña. Oigan, el otro día que estaba comiendo yo y platicando con amigos, el poder tan cañón que tenía en nosotros las palabras de nuestro país. No sé si en su casa, pero cuando mi mamá decía que hiciéramos algo ahorita, era inmediatamente ahorita. Yo cuando digo ahorita, es ahorita. No en 5 minutos, no en 10, no en 15. Entonces, déjenme decirles que si ustedes aman el ahorita, cuando quieran comprar lo que sea, que si tecnología, productos para el jardín, ropa, accesorios, una manija de una puerta, algo para la despensa, en Mercado Libre, ahorita es ahorita. Y literal, te llega mínimo en 24 horas. Pueden tener todos los productos que compraron en la puerta de su casa. Una joya, porque Mercado Libre entiende la palabra ahorita y valora la palabra ahorita. Entonces entren a mercadolibre.com.mx, disfruten lo que es tener las cosas ahorita en menos de 24 horas. Con esto nos vamos, estamos de regreso mañana en punto de las 10 de la mañana. Pásenla muy bien ustedes y no se vayan. Ya saben que el resto de la tarde hay muchísimo más en W Radio, comenzando con lo que ha pasado en México, en el mundo, en Turquía, en Estados Unidos, en Ucrania, con Carlos Loret en Así las Cosas.
Escuchas a Marta de Baile. Síguenos en Facebook, Marta de Baile, y en Twitter, @Marta de Baile. Estamos donde estés.